Let's go to Matthew. Book of Matthew. Chapter 28. Book of Matthew, chapter 28. Let's all stand in reverence to God's Word. Matthew, chapter 28. Not too far past Genesis, but before you get to Revelation. Matthew 28, verse 1 says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where they laid, where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for this day. Lord, the privilege we have to be able to come to your house and, Lord, to worship you. Lord, sing praises to you. Lord, it's because he lives that we can do this. Lord, we thank you so much for your Son that died on the cross for our sins. And Lord, rose again on the third day. Lord, this morning, I ask that you would be with each one here, each heart here, that you would clear their hearts and minds of all the thoughts of the world and put them on you. And Lord, if there is one here that does not know you as Lord and Savior, not a time in their life that they can say that they have placed their faith and trust in you, that before they leave today, that they would get saved. And Lord, we thank you. I ask you, Lord, to hide me behind thy cross. It has nothing to do with me. It's all about Jesus. And these things we pray in Christ's name and amen. The resurrection, you may be seated. Sorry about that. I don't want you to stand up the whole time. Although Ezra spoke. He read the entire five books of the Pentateuch with everybody standing. Man, that would have been a long time. We have a problem sitting for an hour, amen? The resurrection of Christ is the gospel completed, the finished word of Christ, the finished work of Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4 tells us, Paul says, I tell you what I've been told. I'm telling you what I believe, that Jesus died on the cross, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day. Amen. Listen, without the resurrection, none of this would matter. Praise God that Christ arose from the dead. Think about it. It's our hope. But not hope as we see hope anymore. I say, you know, you hear, I hope so. You gonna come over to dinner? Well, I hope so. No, we can have a hope of assurance that Christ arose from the dead and that Christ is coming back and to take us home, and one day we'll be with Him in eternity. If you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. If there's a time in your life that you've trusted the Lord, you can say that with a no-self. You can say, I hope with all the assurance of the authority of the Word of God, that if you trusted the Lord Jesus, you'll go to heaven one day. One day it will happen. I know it's been 2,000 years or so that they put Christ on the cross and He was beaten for my sin. He was mocked and cussed and slapped around. Beard pulled out by handfuls. Crown of thorns placed on His head. They put Him on the cross. They mocked Him. They said, you saved others, but you can't save yourself. Then they took Him down and they buried Him. And He rose again. Listen, that is a blessing for me. Now, the Bible tells me this, that if you trust the Lord Jesus, one day you'll go to heaven. Listen, the Bible is the Word of God. And I'm going to tell you something. I believe the Bible from front to back. It's the Word of God. If it says it, then I believe it. Whatever it says from the first chapter of Genesis all the way to the last chapter of Revelation is the inspired Word of God. But there's something about the inspired Word of God you need to understand. You see, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That word, inspiration, in the Greek, meant God breathed. It's kind of like I heard a preacher say it one time. He said, all the words that I'm saying, he said, is my breath, my air comes out of my lungs, it passes over my larynx and my voice box and all that. My breath is what makes it happen. That's what you're hearing. You're hearing my breath as it comes out. That's exactly what this right here is. It is the breath of God. Listen, the Holy Bible is alive. It's not just a book that you set on some shelf somewhere. It's the Word of God. It's alive. It's got transforming power in it. You can take the vilest of individual that you want to find, Charles Manson or any other person you could think of, and if they read the Word of God and they trust the Lord Jesus Christ, I guarantee you on the authority of the Word of God, they will be in heaven. Amen. It can transform lives. Listen, it transformed my life from a drug head, drunk, no foul language, pitiful husband, pitiful father, to a child of God. I don't need the alcohol. I don't need the drugs. I don't need the foul language. I don't need all the filth they got down the road here. All I need is Jesus. It's a transforming power that, listen, no other book has. You can read books from whoever you want to. I like Warren Wiersbe. He's a godly man, still alive. Teaches classes, big theologian, doctor, whatever. I know some other ones. Max Lucado, I've read some of his books. Paul Chappell up in Lancaster, California. They're godly men, but listen, their books ain't the Word of God. The Word of God is alive. The Word of God can transform you from whatever you are to a child of the King. It can assure you your spot in heaven with Jesus Christ. Oh man. But let me go a step further though. I want you to understand something. Without the resurrection, all of this would be in vain. It'd be a waste of time. Paul said we'd be men most miserable if all we had in this life was Jesus. People say, well, I ain't sure He existed. Listen, there's more proof that Jesus Christ existed than General George MacArthur. There's more proof that Jesus Christ was alive than there is me. And you can see me, but you won't read about me. Listen, Jesus has turned the world upside down. I'm going to tell you, listen, the resurrection changed everything. But it's not just an assurance that I'm going to heaven. Yeah, it assures me I'm going to heaven if I've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's much, much more than just a ticket to heaven. Just a free ticket out of hell. You've heard the get out of jail free card? You know? Get out of hell free. Trust Jesus. Yeah, it'll get you out of hell. There's no doubt to that. And I don't, listen, somebody tells you they ain't a hell, walk away because they're lying to you. Don't trust anything they tell you. Because according to the Word of God, there is. But it's more than that. Let's go over here to Philippians. Keep going toward the back of the Bible. You'll find Ephesians. Hang on to Ephesians. Remember where it's at because we're coming right back. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Paul said that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings being made conformable unto His death. Now, back up to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in the world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Listen, the resurrection is much more than me getting to heaven. The resurrection can be broken down into things, but listen, there's power in the resurrection. To know God, verse 17, He says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. To know God, listen, to know God is the highest education, highest knowledge you will ever gain in your life. You can go and be a rocket scientist. You can be a brain surgeon. You may be so smart that you might even one day create a brain so somebody that ain't got one can have one. But that ain't nothing compared to the knowledge of knowing God. Because you want me to tell you what knowing God will get you? It'll get you to heaven. Amen. That's the first thing. Knowing God will get you salvation. You see, the atheist says there is no God. Well, the Bible says he's a fool. The agnostic says, well, if there is a God, you can't know Him. Oh, but the Bible says you can. Matter of fact, the Bible says that we have the mind of Christ if you're saved. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, you actually have the access, the mind of Jesus Christ. Ooh, that's scary, isn't it? But you can. You see, all of these atheists and agnostics and these people that worship idols and all that, it's called willful ignorance if you go over and read in Romans chapter 1, 18 through about 22. You know what willful ignorance is? It's a special kind of stupidity. I'm serious. That's what it is. Willful ignorance. That is, I'm willfully going to be ignorant about God. That's just stupidity. You know better, but you do it anyway. There was people like that. Guess what? There's people like that today. Amen? They are. I've met some that's just flat out willful ignorant. Well, I even had a guy tell me one time, look, I know there's a God, I know there's a hell, and I know there's a heaven. I ain't interested. That's what you call stupidity. Because it's not going to be a party. You're not going to be a big party down there. You're not going to be down there drinking Budweiser with your buddies. It's going to be a dark place. You're going to be lonely, but you're going to know everything. You see the rich man that died? He prayed. Yeah, you can pray from hell. He might not have prayed while he's alive, but he prayed down there. He cared about people, had compassion. He cried. So you got all that. That ain't a place I want to be at. I want to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, which I will be, because I've trusted Him. I want to be where He wipes all the tears away. I want to be where there's no more pain, no more suffering, no more sorrow. And you can have that through the Lord Jesus Christ, because He rose from the dead. See, the believer can and should grow in the knowledge of God. To know God personally. John 17:3 says, and this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. See, that's to know Him personally. That's salvation. A deep personal relationship. We like to call it sanctification. That's a fancy word. You want me to tell you what that is? When you get saved, the Holy Spirit moves in. I can allow the Holy Spirit to work in my life, or I can say, no, I ain't going to listen to it. But if I allow the Holy Spirit to work in my life, I start building a deeper personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And yeah, I can know the mind of Christ as I do that. To know Him perfectly. Listen, you go up to 1 Corinthians 13, 9 through somewhere in there, 12. Back in the day, when Paul wrote this, they didn't have the Bible. They had bits and pieces, and they had prophecy, prophets that would come in, and the Lord would speak to them, and they would prophesy what the Lord Jesus told them. Well, guess what? When we got the Bible, that which is perfect has come. We can now open this up, and I know you've heard this from me 100 times if you've heard it once. I can open this up and I can say, yep, no. I ain't like that part. You can either take it and look at it like when you go to the mirror, and you look at it and you say, ooh. And stare into it, gaze into it, and seek what He's telling you right here, and you can fix it. Or you can walk by the mirror and you say, man, don't I look good? But you forgot to see all the gray and all the wrinkles and age spots. I always thought these angel kisses. Don't let nobody fool you. They're age spots. When you're this big, you got angel kisses. When you get my age, you got age spots. Listen, you can gaze at that mirror and you can see that and you can fix your problems. Or, you know, a little bit of stuff on there, you can cover it up. I won't say it. No, I will. I watched a lady putting on her makeup driving down the road this morning. And I thought, that's terrible. You go, that's worse than texting. Then I thought, well, a little paint helps an old barn. Uh-oh. Sammy looked at me and he said, brother, that's cruel. I said, look, ladies can fix up. And it helps. I can't, because if I wear makeup, people will say, well, something wrong with him. So I just have to continue getting uglier and uglier as I get old, because it starts sliding, you know. When you look in the mirror, Word of God, He'll tell you what to fix. And if we don't want to fix it, we just have to put up with it. Amen? And then you got to put up with what comes. But you see, the Lord gives us that opportunity. The better we know God, the better you know God, the deeper relationship you have with God, the better you'll know yourself. Now, somebody might say, well, that don't make sense. Try it out. The better you know God, the better you'll know yourself, and the better you'll know others. That's true. Whose image are we made in? We're made in the image of God. The better we know Him, the better we'll know ourselves, and the better we know others. You know what else will come? The better you'll understand. Why is the world in such a mess? If God is what God says He is, why does He allow this to happen? Why is this happen? Why does a little baby get killed by a drunk driver? Why do a little child this big sit in a cancer treatment hospital with a bald head and dying, looking at its last days, and it ain't even been to school yet? Why? Let me tell you something. The better you know God, the more you'll understand why. And a little child like that, hey, one of these days when I get to heaven, I'll see them little babies. 30-something hundred children a day are murdered in this country alone. Cold-blooded murder. And we allow it. I've had people say, God allows it. No, don't blame it on God. They're all aborted. We do it in the name of a woman has her rights. But listen, one day when I get to heaven, I'll see every one of them. See, they're all there. They're covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. God takes care of things His way. And the better you know God, the more you'll understand that. Verse 18, it says to know God's calling and His riches. Let me explain something to you. God calls all men, but not all mankind accepts. See, you've got a choice. You may be sitting in here this morning and the Holy Spirit is convicting you, talking to you. And by the way, if Jesus hadn't left, the Holy Spirit couldn't do that. Because Jesus said, I leave, it's expedient for me to leave, so I'll send the Comforter. You see, Jesus was, while He was on earth, He couldn't be everywhere at once. But when He left, see, He sent back the Holy Spirit, and when a person gets saved, they're born again, the Holy Spirit moves in. See, He's everywhere. And that Holy Spirit may be speaking to you this morning, because listen, the Holy Spirit has several jobs. One of them is to convict the Christian of doing wrong. But another one is to come to that one that has never trusted Jesus, and He leans up there to you, and He says, hey, you need to get saved. You're going to go to hell. You're lost without Me. You can't do it yourself. That's exactly what the Holy Spirit says. And we have that free choice to turn it on or turn it off. We can say, no, I ain't doing that. Man, if I do that, I've got to change this and I've got to change that. Jesus never told you to change nothing. Jesus said, believe in Him, trust in Him, and thou shalt be saved. He said, whosoever call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not just a select few, by the way. Oh, but He said the riches. How did He put that? Verse 18. And what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. It ain't talking about my riches because I'm serving the Lord or my riches because I got saved. It's talking about, listen, you are part of God's wealth. Did you realize that? You're part of God's wealth. Listen, mankind was the crown of His creation. And when a child gets saved, and by the way, we're children. When we get saved, when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ, we become part of His wealth. And He counts us as part of His wealth. The riches of God. Oh, purpose? You want purpose in life? For one, you need to trust the Lord Jesus. He will give you purpose in life. For number two, trust in Him. Follow His guidance. He'll put you in the right place at the right time to be a blessing to someone or to receive a blessing, but all in all, to give glory to God. 19, we're going to be done. And what is the exceeding greatness of the power to usward who believe according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. Listen, to know God's power, God has given us an inheritance in heaven. That's true love. That's God's love. That's encouragement. You may say, you know, I don't have nothing here. I don't have a thing on this earth. If you know Jesus Christ, you don't need it. You've got all of the inheritance of heaven. Listen to what Peter says. 1 Peter 1:4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Hey, it's reserved in heaven just for you. By the way, the next verse says that we're kept by His power. Don't ever let nobody tell you you can sin enough and you can throw away your salvation. You can't. If you are, that means you're tougher than God. We're kept by His power. Listen, the power of God isn't just the creation. The power of God wasn't just the saving of 8 people on an ark. And He flooded the entire world higher than the highest mountain, which is 29-something thousand feet. It wasn't just the parting of the Red Sea when He brought the Israelites out of Egypt. No. It's the miracle of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But it goes further than that. He wasn't just raised from the dead. You see, when Christ came out of the grave, He took His place of authority at the right hand of God. Amen. He is Lord of Lords, King of Kings. No authority or power is greater than that of Jesus Christ, the exalted Son of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords, King of Kings. I serve a risen Savior. You won't find Him in some grave overseas. You won't be able to get any DNA and test it to see if Christ was buried because He ain't there. He's alive. Amen. And I serve a living God. I know because He lives within me. Woo, man, it makes me feel good. That's enough to make a Baptist want to jump a pew, but I'd hurt my other foot, Miss Annie. It gets you excited. Listen, the power of God transforms ordinary people's lives. Look what it done to Peter. Peter was a backslidden fisherman. Jesus showed up and you read about it in Luke 5 and He said, cast out in the deep, Peter, and Peter cast out and he was mending all his nets and Jesus says, put your nets on that side. He said, Jesus, I have fished all night long. You're the preacher. I'm the fisherman. But nevertheless, I'll let down a net. See, Jesus told him, when you read that, He said, let your nets down. No, I just let down a net and they caught so much they didn't know what to do. Peter realized, oh, what a sinful person I am. Then later we see Peter standing in front of the fire the night they crucified, they took him to court, and then the next day crucified Jesus. And he's warming his hands and he cusses and said, I don't know Jesus. And then when in John 21, we see Peter and he's like, I mean, Jesus is resurrected. Jesus has come and visited with them. And he says, I'm going fishing. You guys going with me? I'm fed up with this. But you know what the transforming power of Christ can do? We see Peter in the book of Acts preached and 3,000 souls came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Whoo! Oh, the Apostle Paul doing everything he could to stop Christians. He was a Christian hater. Persecuted Christians, drug them to the courts and to the prisons to die. Be fed to the lions. Fight gladiators. But then one day Jesus showed up. Woo, man transformed him into a preaching machine that wrote the majority of the New Testament. Amen. It is transforming power. I want to tell you something. You get into the Bible, you go ahead and prepare. You start getting into the Bible and you start reading the Word of God and you start praying and say, God, open my eyes to what you want in my life. You best get ready. Because there will come a change. Well, I don't know if I want that. Well, you don't want that, you do just like this. You take it, you flop it out there and let the dust build up on it, and Sunday morning, you know, be sure you clean it off a little bit so it don't look so bad when it comes to church. Because that's the first time you ever opened it throughout the whole week. If that's the kind of life a Christian wants to live. But if you want to be transformed, you want to see what God can do in your life, open that up. Start studying the Word of God. It can transform you. You know, Paul said in Galatians 2:20, he said, I'm dead. Christ lives within me. I was crucified with Him. Listen, when Paul got saved, when Paul trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, man, what a change come. He didn't go sit down on a pew and say, well, you know, Ananias, I need to think about this. No. Paul started preaching the Word of God to people. He started telling others about Jesus Christ. Right before that, hey, he was on the road to Damascus to kill people like us. But Jesus Christ changed his life. And then what a transformation. You see, he suffered in the fellowship with Christ. In other words, Paul lost his life for Jesus. It's our reasonable service, according to Romans 12, 1 and 2, to transform. Let's stand. Brother Craig, if you'll come up and pick us a song, Sister Judy. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. We'll have a prayer as the musicians prepare. But this morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you say, you know what, I don't know Him personally, I've never trusted Him. Listen, I beg of you today. I'm serious. Come to know Him as Lord and Savior. He didn't tell you you got to change anything. He didn't say, well, you got to give this up and you got to give that up. No, He said, trust me. Believe in me and thou shalt be saved. Most kind and gracious Lord, this morning, Lord, here in just a second, we're going to do an invitation. And Lord, if there's one here that does not know You as Lord and Savior, Lord, burden their heart. Speak to them right now. Lord, that they would come down and they could be sweetly saved this morning. I can show them in the Word of God how to be saved. Lord, if there is a believer here this morning that, Lord, has kept the Bible shut, that, Lord, is not depending on You to guide their life, Lord, just burden their heart that they would get that right today. And these things I pray in Christ's name. Amen. What page, brother?
Page 109.
Page 109.